Welcome, everyone, to Talia Tuesday on the Blueprint Podcast, where we dive deep into the realms of confidence and assertiveness with our co-host, Talia Bombola. As a licensed marriage and family therapist and specialist in confidence and assertiveness, Talia brings a wealth of expertise and insights to our discussions. Join us each Tuesday as we explore practical strategies, personal anecdotes, and empowering advice to help you cultivate the confidence and assertiveness you need to thrive in all aspects of life. Get ready to unlock your full potential and build the life you desire with Talia and Jason as your guides. So the first question is, hi. I like the highs.
Hi.
So it always makes me feel good. I've been following your reels for quite a while, and I've learned a lot so far. I'm very grateful for that. I understand to give the avoidant space. Do you? Do you understand?
I don't like it, but I understand it.
You were talking about a reasonable time. But what is reasonable? I had a little argument with my avoidant partner on Thursday, and he's sending me a voice message that we will see each other on Monday, as we have made plans already for that day. Is 5 days reasonable? No contact at all from both sides? I don't really want to see him either, but cutting off the contact for 5 days for something, but cutting off the contact for five for a stupid, good God, but cutting off.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Words are hard.
Yeah, they really are. It's always interesting, man. But cutting off contact for 5 days for a stupid thing seems a lot to me. I'm curious about your thoughts. Thanks in advance.
My gut reaction was if they already had plans and the partner followed through and was like, hey, I'll see you for our predetermined plans, that's a good sign. Like, they didn't cancel the plans. That would be more like, where is this going territory? Everybody's nervous system is tuned to a different frequency in terms of how long they need for decompression. So masters of relationship end up maybe needing 20 minutes to an hour, whereas in the beginning, when people are first starting, they might need a few days. Yes, I would say the no contact at all during that time might be destabilizing to the recipient's nervous system, but it's not the most unrealistic thing. It's like a planned silent treatment, if you will. So could it be healthier? Yes. This is also an attachment style.
I know, but it also says, I don't really want to see him either.
I feel like that's something we tell ourselves of, fine, like, I didn't want to see you anyway. But she also, I'm assuming it's a woman, she also could be feeling like, yeah, I don't want to see you. If you don't want to see me, I don't want to see you. It could be responsive and defensive, or it could also be like a delusion of, I'm fine, everything's fine. But it really depends on who you are. Is this normal? Is this their standard MO that they need 5 days to decompress? That would be a lot for me. I don't think I could be in a relationship with someone like that. Not that there's anything wrong with 5 days. It just doesn't jive well with my needs. So I would, if I were this person, I would ask myself, does this relationship match my needs? Are my needs getting met? Or does the 5 day limit, if that never changes, would I stay? If it gets smaller, could I tolerate that? I would look at it more existentially, but that's just how I think as a person. That'd be my advice. What about you?
I don't want people to get all hung up, especially in the beginning, right? If there's a distance of five days in the beginning, I think that's totally fine. I think it's normal to have that. You're talking about reasonable time, but what is reasonable? I had a thought and I totally lost it.
It'll come back.
All right. I don't know that it will.
You're like, I'm not confident. My brain has left the station.
I am not confident. If you saw what I've been doing and trying to keep up with doing all this stuff, it's
I can imagine it's a lot. Yeah.
On top of doing the men's program and editing the video and doing all that stuff. So it's,
I think 24 hours is reasonable. That's what most couples therapists would say. Don't let things go more than a day, 24 hour clock. But that takes time to scale up to. So if the person communicates to you the amount of time, that is reasonable because they're telling you there's an end limit. It would be unreasonable if they just left it like, oh, I need space. Then book a trip to Mars. Like, I'm not giving you unlimited space with no end time. Reasonable is an end time. It may not be the amount of days you like, but it can slowly work its way down to less time. And the cycle of disconnect to connect can also be lessened over time. And this person could voice that to their partner. Hey, I would still like to touch base with you during the 5 days. It's not one partner makes all the rules. So you can voice what you want. If 5 days, like, negotiate. If 5 days is too long, it's okay, fine, I'll see you then, but I will text you in the meantime. And then the other person, they're going to say yes or no. So you may as well state what you're working on.
And I don't care if you respond, because I'm still going to do it anyway. I'm going to text you.
I'm going to blow up your phone. Yeah.
And I'll still see you on that day. No, so I did catch the thought again, and it was what the avoidant wants most is trust.
Yeah.
And so if they can have that trust, so this mm-hmm. can, in the very beginning, it's not like intentionally testing, but it is putting out there, this is my emotional capacity right now. And you have a choice. You can respect that. Mm-hmm. And in respecting that emotional capacity, and I don't want you getting your hopes up over this, but over time, now you've proven that you are trustworthy, not that you weren't trustworthy to begin with, but to the nervous system of the avoidant, you now become a person that is safe, that they can be around, that they know isn't going to abandon them, that is going to show up, that is going to be present. And over time, that does have that effect if you're willing to go that far. However, you want to make sure that you're checking in with yourself to make sure that you're not self-abandoning or going against your goals, values, and standards for a relationship with you. I have had quite a few people give me their success stories over on Facebook and drop it in the comment section that before I found your content, being my content, they didn't know anything about attachment styles. They didn't really know much about the avoidant, but they took it on good faith that what I was saying was something that was going to be positive and helpful. And sure shit, they're now in a stable, loving relationship with their avoidant. Now, is that going to be long lasting? I don't know, because I don't know that relationship, but that's the feedback that I'm getting. And this is 6 months into whatever's happening for that person. So there's been some time in this that they've been following, doing some of the work, making the effort. And now there's just, that's the superpower that the anxious attacher has. When you surrender, when you release that control, now all of a sudden the relationship takes a shift and it's a very positive one for the avoidant mainly. And that's why we always hear people say, why do I always have to do the heavy lifting? Yeah. So you don't, but if you can just release a little bit, just a little bit, then the dynamic of the relationship can change.
Yeah. And then maybe it will be for this person less than 5 days. Maybe they're saying that because that amount of time typically has always been interrupted and it like ends up, it's 5 days, but really it's 2 days amortized over the course of 5 days because it gets interrupted. Where if you're like, okay, and you really, you're like, I hate this. I'll give it a try. Like, I'll do an experiment once. This could be the last time I ever try it. Who cares? For these 5 days, I'll go do whatever I like. I'll do my hobbies. I'll see my friends. I'll focus on anything else but my relationship, still being mindful and committed to it, focusing on what you want to do. And then who knows, by Tuesday or when you see your partner, you might feel much better because you're like, wow, I gave back to myself. And they might, you might find them on day 3 or 4 texting you, hey, I really miss you, because you've given them that space for the avoidant is safety. Space for the anxious is danger. So it's very difficult because you want the opposite, but the same at the same time. Cause you're like, I really need space. And the anxious person's, that's going to send me into an abandonment spiral. So I'm going to need as much closeness as possible. If I could crawl inside of you, I would, just to make sure I'm not being abandoned. So we have to meet somewhere in the middle, which is like the avoidant staying their ground and the anxious maybe taking a half step back, or the avoidant taking one step forward and the anxious standing their ground. We're not saying 90-10. It's be yourself and lean a little bit like a sail on a sailboat with the wind. And you have to go with the flow. Both of you have to go with the flow.
Yeah, it's so interesting because you're meeting the avoidant halfway. And that's really, that's such a disconnect for people who have an anxious attachment style. But then you also have to turn around and meet yourself halfway. And so what do I mean by that? You're anxious and it's coming up inside of you. And so that's your little you, that inner child that you have to meet that inner child halfway to. So you got to grab them by the hand and just let them know that, hey, guess what?
Okay.
We're going to meet the avoidant halfway, but we're going to do this together. We're going to do this together.
Yeah. I'm not alone, because I always have little me. Yeah.
And so we're going to navigate this. We're going to figure this out. And hopefully that works. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the avoidant's a little too avoidant and it doesn't work the way you want. But at least you met yourself, and that's a big step.
And you'll have to do that no matter who you're with.
Yes. So
best of luck to this writer, inner listener.
Yeah.
Best of luck to the attendee of this content that you've produced. And hopefully our advice was helpful.
I'm sure it was. It's fine. Awesome. Thank you all for tuning into today's episode of Talia Tuesday on the Blueprint Podcast with Talia Bombola. Remember, building confidence, self-love, and assertiveness is a journey, and each step you take brings you closer to your goals. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast for more insightful conversations and practical tips to support your personal growth, and head over to my Stand store to sign up for the 21-Day Self-Love Challenge. on sale now. And you can also drop a question for Talia and I for the podcast. Until next time, keep embracing your strengths, asserting your boundaries, and living authentically. Take care, and we'll see you next Tuesday on the Blueprint Podcast.